today the word of God comes from the book of Romans. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, it's good to have John back from the living dead, right? Amen. And Brenda to be here with us as always. We appreciate it. And the choir for, thank you. I understand that was the first time we've done that, though, right? John was sharing. I was like, what? We've had this for how long? We've never done it. We got to do it. So glad. And we'll definitely do it again. Yeah. All right. So most definitely we'll do that. But it's good to be here at the beginning of the new year. And I was thinking about, okay, I grew up, can you tell, when did you think I was a kid?
A long time ago,
exactly. It's a good answer. Good answer. So I was a kid in the 70s and the 80s primarily, okay? And so back then, when you watched TV, you had a choice of how many channels, you remember? Three. And if you were lucky, you had four because you could get the local PBS station, right? So you were lucky. Now, I lived out in the country, and every now and then we could get PBS, not always. But back then, many times, some of the most popular, there weren't as many TV shows as there are today. And so there weren't as many, but it seemed like the most popular ones always kind of came back to back. And I'll give you an example. Like some of the most popular shows that I remember growing up was this show. Do you remember this one? What's that? The Love Boat? Exactly. And then the show that immediately followed The Love Boat was what? Yeah, exactly. And what did Tattoo say? The plane, exactly. You got it. Y'all know it. Now, I know some of this is brand new for you. You know, it's a learning experience for some of y'all. But, one of my very favorites was actually this show. Happy Days, right? Exactly. Spinoff from American Graffiti. But the show that immediately followed Happy Days was a spinoff of this show, which was what? Yeah, exactly. Laverne and Shirley. Remember how the theme song started? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Shamil, Shamazel, Hoffenpfeffer Incorporated. That's what it was. Which actually, I looked that up. What did that mean? So it's Yiddish, the two words, Shamil, Shamal. Yiddish for unlucky ones, and Hoffenpfeffer was like, was a rabbit stew. So I don't know what it had to do with Laverne and Shirley, but that's how it started. Let's see. Oh, another favorite of mine was this show. Remember him? What was the show? $6 Million Man, yes. And then it spun off another show. Remember her? Yes, they get to the, there we go. Remember her? She was what? The Bionic Woman. This was my first crush, I think. It was Lindsay Wagner, just to be honest. And they were bionic, and they had very similar abilities. Both of them had bionic what? Legs, not eyes. Both of them had a bionic arm. Now, the $6 million man had a bionic eye, but the bionic woman had a bionic ear, exactly. So they all had their own kind of things that they were doing. Now, another hit show during this time was actually this one. You don't know that one? I did not get to watch that one growing up. Either it came on after my bedtime or my parents just said, you're not watching it. I don't know. One of the others. But it was a very popular show. It kind of spun off, or at least kind of paved the way for some shows later on that came to mind. Well, Baywatch came to mind. Y'all remember that one? I didn't watch that one either. I think I read the book, though.
The
But here's the thing about all of those shows. If you were going to watch Happy Days, or if you're going to watch The Love Boat or Fantasy Island, any of those, you had to know when it was going to come on, right? So I don't remember what days those shows came on each week. I do not remember that. But if it said 8 o'clock, Happy Days was going to be on at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays. If you wanted to watch Happy Days, you had to be where? In front of the TV at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. That was the way it worked back then. And if you missed it, well, you missed that episode, and you might catch it in reruns, you might not. You never knew that. But if you wanted to watch it, you had to be present. Nothing like today, right? Today is all on demand. It's all streaming. You want to watch it? Well, okay, great. I want to watch it now. It doesn't matter. You can watch almost anything, anytime, except, you know, like live sporting shows. Events, things like that. But most of it, you know, it's on demand. You can do it whenever you want to. You can binge watch if you want to. You can watch a whole season or seasons of a show if you wanted to. I know my kids, or really Mindy and some of my kids, they've been watching Stranger Things. I don't know. I've not seen it, so not my, but they, I mean, that's what they did. They finished the series last night. Was the final one, and so, but they, you know what, they could do it any time they wanted. They didn't have to wait to a certain time or a certain day. I mean, everything these days is almost on demand. Yep. If you got an Amazon Prime membership, you can get your stuff delivered, what, in 2 days, sometimes even less, even the same day, if you're fortunate. We want things now. We're so conditioned now, we've come used to it, we expect it to be now kind of on demand. And unfortunately, that's kind of that understanding has sort of seeped over into our understanding of who God is. Because we want God to be on demand. We want God to respond now. If we have a prayer, we would like to answer now. If we want God to do something, we'd like for God to do that now. And when God doesn't, we get a little frustrated. We get disappointed, right? God didn't respond, so God must not be real, or God isn't powerful enough or good enough, or God doesn't care, because where's my on-demand God? And I share that because it's a twisted understanding or view of who God is, and that's kind of what this series is about. We're going to look at some what I call twisted understandings, twisted views of God. And why they are, and really kind of untwist those a little bit. And so that's what I want us to do today. Look at this kind of twisted understanding of that God is to be on demand, that God is really there to serve us and not the other way around, right? But see, that's the twisted part there. Because the truth is, God's not this genie in the sky that we just need to rub 3 times and he'll grant us our wish, or like the cosmic Coke machine, we put our money in, we say our prayer, we push our button, and out comes our answer. That's not who God is. God is the creator, we are the created, right? God is the potter, we are the clay. God is Lord of all, we are not. God is not on demand in the way we understand that to be. So it's been twisted a little bit. So if that's not who God is, then we just need to be reminded, well, okay, what is the untwisted, the clearer picture of who God is and what God is all about? And so we'll touch on that a little bit. It's things, I think we know this. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of these things from time to time. And the first one is that we just need to begin with this place, and that is in this place, and that is, you know, God's heart is always loving. Right? That's kind of the foundation of it all, is God's heart is always loving. Now, if you were a parent at some point, or been around parents, was there ever a time when you did not love your children? Has there ever been a time when you didn't love them? Now, I didn't ask you if you liked them. There are times where I don't always like my kids. There are times when I wish I could trade them in. There are times when I wonder if they're really mine. But there's never been a time where I question whether or not I love them. Regardless, I've always loved them. Now, does that mean I always did what they wanted me to do? Or do I always do the thing that they want me to do? No. Even though I have the power to do it many times, I'm not always going to do what they want me to do. And I'll give you a great example. So when my kids were a little bit younger before they started driving and all that good stuff, I would get a call sometimes, or I would get a text from one of them during the school day, and it would be like, "Dad, can you bring me my lunch?" Or, "Dad, can you bring me my whatever? Can you do this?" And so I would get those requests. "Dad, I forgot my gym clothes." And this is what I told them. I said, "Okay, I'll do this one time, okay? So I'll get your lunch and I'll bring it to school and I'll drop it off, your gym clothes, your assignment, or whatever. I'll do it one time for you. But after that, you're on your own." Now, did that stop the request from coming? No. Next time I'd be, "Dad, I forgot." And I'd be like, "I'm sorry, you're on your own. You got to eat school food today. Or, you know, you just have to go to PE class in your jeans. I'm sorry." Now, is that because I was trying to punish them? No. I wasn't trying to punish them. It's because I love them. And even though I didn't always do exactly what they've wanted me to do. Okay? We love them. We're just not always going to do everything that they want us to do. And I share that because I think that's the same with God to a degree, right? God doesn't always do exactly what we want God to do. Right? Even though God may have the power to do it, God's not always going to do that. Right? Now, does that mean he doesn't love us? He's always going to be loving. And that's what Paul is referring to in his letter to the Romans that we just heard Kelly read a moment ago. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. Of course, we need to update that a little bit because I don't think there's many of us that are going around naked with the sword in our face, okay? So maybe it should read for us in this day and age, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be financial trouble or unemployment or relationship breakdowns or cancer or depression or whatever? Will any of those things separate us from the love of Christ? And as Paul goes on, says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through what? Are we more than conquerors through our own power? No, what does Paul tell us? We are more than conquerors. Why? Through Christ, right? Through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future or any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because God's heart is always loving. Now he doesn't prove that by answering every prayer. God proves that why? By sending us his son. God proves his love for us that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because God's heart is always loving. There's never a time where God doesn't love us. May not always be happy with us, may not always like us, but there's never a time that he doesn't love us. He's just not always going to do what we want him to do, maybe when we want him to do it. Now, God's always loving. We also need to remember God's ways are always higher than our ways. Right? Now, I'm going to pause because through the years I've always been asked, well, why did this happen? You know, explain this. Why did God, or whatever? And sometimes there's just not a good answer to that question of why. I think the scriptures give us some good insight into who God is. And when I read the scriptures, what it tells me is that, hey, when bad things happen, that's not because God's making those things happen or God wants those things to happen, that God is punishing us. I don't believe that's who God is. So I don't believe that God, you know, sends cancer to people, or that he makes that drunk driver run into the car and kill folks, or that it's part of God's plan for that child molester or rapist to do horrible kinds of things. I don't believe that. And we're going to dig into that further in a couple weeks. That's going to be our focus onto that understanding of who God is. I mean, we wouldn't do those things to our own kids or anybody else. At least most of us wouldn't. Why would we think God would do that? Right? But I have to say, sometimes I don't understand. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways. It's just we have to be careful not to use that as a blanket answer to that question. Right? Because then that implies that everything that is painful, everything that is evil, everything that is bad is because God has willed it to be that way, or God wanted it to be that way. And I don't think that's an accurate picture. I think that's a twisted understanding of who God is. But like I said, we're going to talk more about that and really unpack that in a couple weeks. So you got to come back, okay? There you go. But God's heart is always loving. God's ways are higher than our ways. And as we just celebrated during this whole season of Advent and Christmas, the theme of that was what? We already forgot. What was our theme for Advent? Was what? Well, at least John in worship meetings know. All right, you know, God with us, right? Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew, who tells us, that reminds us of that God is always present. Right? God is with us. When a famous preacher, his son got killed in an automobile accident, and so there were obviously folks who asked him, well, so where was your God then? And he said, you know what? God was the first one on the scene. God was the first one on the scene. He held my son in his arms, and he wept. Because God is always present. It's not the promise that something bad is not going to happen to us. That we're not going to experience loss, that we're not going to experience pain. He just says that I'm going to be present with you through it all. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He says, faith is the art of holding on to things in spite of changing moods and circumstances. I like that. Faith is the art of holding on to things in spite of changing moods and circumstances. He wrote that in Mere Christianity. You want to find it. Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, just said it this way. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. And so we may not see God, may not feel God in a moment. That doesn't mean that God's not present. God may not respond on demand as we would like him to. Doesn't mean God's not always present. It might be, here's the thing, it might be days, it might be weeks, it might be months, it might be years later. But when we pause and we take a moment and we reflect back, many times what we find is, oh yeah, that's where God was. God was there. I didn't feel it in the moment. I didn't see it at that time. But now I do. Why? Because who will separate us from the love of Christ, of God in Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. And Paul's writing out of his own experience. He's writing out of his own experience. I've experienced all these things, and here's my answer. No. Why? Because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can... Pretty much Paul covers it all right there. Right? Nothing can separate us from that. And so we can reject God. Why? Because God didn't do what we wanted God to do, or expected, or in the time frame that we wanted God to do. All right, we can reject God for all of those things and even more. But, you know, here's the deal. It's not going to separate. It's not going to change the situation that we find ourselves in, okay? Not going to change that. Only thing it does is it's going to remove from us the greatest source of hope, of comfort, of strength, of help that we have. We can reject, but it's just removing us. We're removing ourselves from that source. See, on-demand, to me, on-demand God doesn't exist. God's not always going to do what we want God to do in the moment that we want God to do it in. But it doesn't mean God doesn't love us. Because I believe God grieves when we grieve. Our pain is God's pain. Because God's felt it himself. It breaks God's heart when we choose to go our way versus his way. But that's the freedom we've been given, because that's what God does. God's ways are higher than our ways. And there's not always a good, easy answer, but what I know is God is always present. That when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death or whatever it might be for us, God is walking there with us. And the promise is, the promise from the one born in Bethlehem, the promise from the one in which table we gather around this day is that, you know what? There is always hope. Because I will liberate you. I will deliver you. And maybe not in this life, but definitely in the next. Because why? Nothing can separate us from the love of those, from those who love God. Nothing will separate us. God's going to love us regardless if we reject him or not. Okay? God's going to love us regardless of that. We choose whether we'll separate ourselves from that or not. Not God. Nothing we do will cause God not to love us. God's going to love us no matter what. You know, on this 11th day of Christmas, you know, we come to this table. And I think in many ways it is a reminder of this very fact. That God has not abandoned us. God has not forsaken us. That God actually enters into our world. Right? That when we are disappointed by God, if we feel like we've been disappointed by God, that God walks with us, just as he walked with his son, as his own son, faith, death on the cross.